listener production.
Well, Ham, this is our remembering project.
Yep, where a random day of the year is selected and we look up the run sheets from all our shows from across the years to find any we did on that day.
Over 20 years, that's about 2,500 shows and roughly 26,000 talk breaks. Today, we pick one. One talk break only, and try to remember what happened based on what was written down on the run sheet from that day.
As always, we've got podcast Mike with us here for any technical stuff.
Hello.
Mike, what date was randomly chosen today?
It's the 28th of April.
Okay then, it's Haim's go. Here's Mike with the sponsorship stuff before we find out what year Haim will take us back to and see if we remember anything from that day.
This is Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project.
All right, 28th of April, Ando. Mm-hmm. Some interesting stuff happened over the years. In 2009, I mean, this is one of the ones where you look back, because you know how some things start. We've done a few on this podcast where, like, you go, oh, that was the beginning. And
yeah,
then it grew into something big. 2009, we thought my dad might have swine flu.
Did we?
But he didn't. So, you know, I look back and I go, well, if he did that day, that would obviously be the day that changed the course of history for me. But he didn't. I think you're just feeling a bit under the weather. Swine flu. Swine flu's popped up once or twice. I've seen that in the run sheets.
Really?
I mean, bigger than it, because I don't really remember it being a thing in Australia, but I guess it was in the news.
We were scared of it. I mean, as far as
COVID, like, scared.
No, but as far as pandemics, swine flu, SARS, bird flu, COVID, in my memory of the four.
But only
we had
COVID was a pandemic. I mean, the others were.
Sorry, yes.
The others were cautious flare ups.
Yeah. And Ebola was a big one that was
yeah, true. But I mean, not for us though.
Yeah, you know. No.
So it was more in the category of like making jokes about bacon and those were the days. Comedy was really comedy was the most affected industry by swine flu.
Yes.
As opposed to all the other industries now. In 2008, we focused on So You Think You Can Dance a fair bit on the show. That seems to have been a much bigger show than I remember.
Yeah.
To the point where in the run sheets it's like abbreviated. It's like the
So You Think You Can Dance.
Like, took me a while. SYTYCD or whatever. It took me a while to go. What does that mean?
I wouldn't have known what that meant.
What is that? What's the word I'm looking for here, Mike?
Acronym.
Yeah, it's acronymized.
What did you say?
Anagram.
Yeah, I was looking.
Not looking for that, Mike.
Get out. No, please stay. We don't know how to work the roadcaster. The acronym. Like, we're using the acronym all the time for So You Think You Can Dance.
Who were the judges? Mike, you're good at remembering this kind of stuff. But
Jason Coleman.
Coleman, we know.
Natalie Bassingthwaite.
Bass was the host.
Oh, was she the host?
Yeah.
Get your facts straight, mate.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I think Nat Bass, the host. Coleman?
I reckon, and it was the first set that was multi-leveled. Because you remember, do you remember that, Mike?
Yeah,
like
I do.
Above the dance floor, there would be like a group of people hanging out, and occasionally Nat would host from amongst them.
Yes,
often wearing like a sparkly dress,
kind of like the current Dance with the Stars, where the dancers are upstairs.
Yeah, you just never knew. I reckon they were the first reality show to bring in levels. MasterChef used levels very, very well.
Yes,
if you're a contestant, you have to be upstairs.
Yep.
You have to be looking down. Mm. But I think So You Think You Can Dance was the first show to bring in.
Yep.
Hey, you never know where we're going to put the host.
Yes.
So she's up here, she's down here, she's out the back.
Yes, that's very true.
It was a real, it's like a three-card Monty. Follow the queen, not the jack. Follow the queen, where is she? She's out the back.
Mike, tell us, who were they?
Well, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page and it says the show was hosted by Carrie Bickmore with Paula Abdul, Shannon Holzapfel and Jason Gilkison. But was there another edition of it later?
Yeah, I'm talking. This is 2008. Is that
maybe Carrie? Did Carrie host? Yeah, that rings a bell. Carrie hosting.
It does ring a very faint bell.
No, you're thinking of a different show. That's called.
No, it's So You Think You Can Dance Australia. But okay, I'm looking at season one now. Yeah. Nat Bass was the host. Jason Coleman, Matt Lee, and Bonnie Lithgow.
Bonnie Lithgow.
She was from the UK. She was a sort of a famous ballroom doyen. The thing that I had written down, we had Dean Geyer on for So You Think You Can Dance?
No,
Australian Idol, if anything.
Well, it said maybe that's a misprint on the running sheet.
That could happen.
But this wasn't the moment we had him on, but it reminded me of the famous Dean Geyer moment.
Yeah. I'm not proud of what I did, Mike.
Dean Geyer, Mike, does he mean anything to you?
Yeah, I know who Dean Geyer is.
Yeah. Heartthrob, early Australian Idol.
Yeah.
Went on to be in Glee.
Yeah. had the package, you know. It was a triple threat, was beautiful, good actor, good singer. And I think early on he decided I'm going to be...
You give him a half scholarship for music.
You give him at least,
yeah.
The quarter to a half. We give him a half for everything. Yeah. So you give him half of your looks.
Yeah.
I don't know if they give modelling scholarships to high school. Half your looks, half your acting, half your singing. Yeah, hey, that's 150%. Yeah, that's right. We're going to pay you. We're going to pay your parents $4,500 a year to send you to our school.
So, Mike, because you got half scholarship for singing,
yes.
What portion of that was for looks, do you think?
I'd say... Maybe 10%.
Sure. Yeah. So 5% overall of your fees was paid for by your looks. Dean, he was like a real heartthrob at the time, and he had a lot of fans. He was sort of, you know, he was Australia's version of One Direction a little bit. Like his fans like were obsessed with him. And then there was some thing that we were like, oh, look, you can play if you'll do it topless and some of your fans can come in.
Sam's come in and said, hey.
That's our producer, by the way, yeah.
Dennis Hanlon from Sony has asked Dean Guy to come on to perform live. And we're like, oh, I'm not sure if it's quite right for our show, for where we want to be. And Sam's then going, hey, well, we've since gone back. They've come back and Dennis would like this a favour. And we want to keep Dennis happy. He said he's a good friend of our show and has been for years anyway.
Great supporter. Great supporter.
But he was such a great supporter. We're like, oh, we've got to keep him happy as well because he's a good pal. But how do we make this work for our show? And we thought, well, he's a heartthrob. Yeah. If he plays topless and... We have people. We give away the chance to see him playing topless.
Yeah, we exploited him.
We
exploited him as eye candy.
Let's give that opportunity, and then so people were ringing up, very excited.
Excited fans going, oh my god, I'm going to see him play topless, kind of like the Naked Cowboy in Times Square. Like that was sort of what we were thinking. Probably it's not very respectful of Dean's talents as a musician.
No, but
you remember
day,
we were young and this was like, you know, often you'll notice in these older shows you go to the very base level first idea.
Yes, and then the next day he comes in.
Well, he came in, we had the crowd there and they were sort of sectioned off because we said, look for your safety, they're behind this tape and they can't touch you and they won't be able to get near you.
This is the first time he's heard that he has to be topless.
Yeah, we thought he'd been briefed and he was like, nah, I'm not doing it.
And we were kind of live, like he'd arrived.
Yeah, it was in the song before it was good to go. Yeah. We're like, look, this has been promised, Dean.
Yeah.
Look at these hungry wolves. They've been promised a feast of Dean for their eyes.
And then, I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but if my memory serves me correctly, I was not particularly nice. And I said, when we came back for the break live on radio, you're not allowed to play until you take your top off.
Yeah. Get your effing top off, you hack piece of S. I think Andy screamed at him.
I didn't say that.
Sort of that first,
but it does remind
moment we saw who the real Andy was.
But in looking back, it's like that's a pretty rough position to put someone in.
He should have been briefed. We should never have done it in the first place. He should have been briefed. It was just a weird afternoon for everybody.
And to his credit, he took it off and had a play.
Took it off and he did it and we all had a bit of a laugh about it. It was a stitch up. The only other time, I remember that this is unrelated, but we had Anthony Calea in once who was sort of famously short.
Yeah.
And we, again, real like base level, no real idea, but we were just essentially teasing him a bit because he was short to go, do you think you're tall enough to hold a Tim Tam away from a dwarf or a little person, as they prefer to be called? We had a guy that was a mate of ours that was on the show from time to time that did have dwarfism, Jeremy, the people's little person. And he said, yeah, I'll come in and Anthony Clare had to hold the Tim Tam away from Jeremy to see if Jeremy could grab it. And look, Anthony Clare not actually even that short. It just became a gag, like teasing Grant Denyer for being short. He's not that short.
Yeah.
So Anthony Clare could easily hold the Tim Tam away.
Yeah.
And then on air, we're quietly saying to him, you know, drop your arm down.
like just miming. Like, yeah, like come on.
Like, you know, like, you know, be a good sport. Like, Jeremy, he's not even getting close. Come on, drop your arm. So Anthony Clare's like, oh, okay, drops his arm. Jeremy grabs it. We're like, oh, I can't do it.
You're so short.
It was a stitch up.
So again,
Mike.
Another stitch up.
Stitch up we're not proud of.
Yeah.
In 2010, you asked the question on the show, is buying a drink for someone flirting?
Oh, right.
And it was put out to the people.
I reckon that probably would have been a yes.
I think so. Then in 2016, you were trialling a new pickup line. It was like, Andy's got a new pickup line. Do you want to use it? But it doesn't say what the pickup line was.
Yes.
So
that was
2016.
I know the one we trialled in 2011.
28th of April.
but I don't know what that one would have been in 2016.
Wasn't the Maestro, that was my idea that I gave to you.
Yes, that was where you go to the bar and you pretend you're playing piano.
Yes, you do the fingering for piano, like complicated concert piano on the bar top.
And then just get caught and ponder for a little bit. Oh, and
I'm annoyed at this bit, like you're such a genius you can imagine
yeah.
like Beethoven level playing on imaginary keys and then you figure out.
Then you crack it.
And you pull out, ideally you pull out a pad and pen and you pretend to write down this
it
new
did
piece
work.
Of music.
I did go and trial it for Haim and someone's, immediately the person goes, oh, what are you up to there? It's like, and then I think the kicker was you don't actually go, oh, I was writing a piece of music. You've got to be play it cool and be dismissive.
Ah, it's just something I'm working on.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
that would blow your mind if you knew about it.
It did actually work.
Don't know if it was the Maestro for 2016. I've got something. Mm. I've got something. We do have to go to Mike first. Mike, you do your bit, but on the other side of this, the piece I found is in the same vein as I reckon the first time Taylor Swift was on the show.
What year?
2009.
Okay.
Someone appeared on the show doing something that makes me giggle. Great. Because I promise you we would not get this person back doing this thing
in the future. Take it away, Mike.
Ando.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike, by the way. But
really good job, Mike.
2009.
2009. Remember we had a laugh the other day about inviting Ian Dicko Dickinson to the Logie Spit Roast?
Yep. It's just Dixon.
Yeah, Dixon. I wasn't going to correct you. Yes. Yeah.
Well, no one cares what comes after Dicko.
Yeah, Dicko. Yeah, Dicko. Exactly.
Sorry, Dicko. Sorry, mate. So We didn't play inviting Dicko to the Logie Spit Roast Party because we just sort of we kind of came to the conclusion like we know what that's going to sound like.
Yes.
It's just, will you come? Yes, I'll come. I am going to play a Logie Spit Roast invitation.
Right.
Because the person that we invited in 2009 was Academy Award nominated actress Margot Robbie.
Wow.
Back from her Neighbours Day, and we didn't even think she was a big enough name to give her her own invite because she's being co-invited with Ryan Maloney, Toady from Neighbours.
Oh my gosh, yep.
Okay,
prepare
yourself. Yeah. This is Margot Robbie before she starred as Tonya Harding and got nominated for an Oscar or Wolf of Wall Street or any of other amazing films.
The 28th of April, 2009.
Hamish and Andy for the drive home. And Haim, this Friday.
Oh, it's massive.
It's massive.
Already.
TV Week came in crying.
TV Week's cancelled the Logies, if you've not heard. They put them back on. They've now re-cancelled them. Last I heard they were back on, but you can just see from their to-ing and fro-ing
how
scared
worried
they are of our Spit Roast Party overshadowing them this Friday.
And I've got good news, Ham, because we've got even more stars to add to the mix.
Oh, I don't like the way it's looking for you actual Logies.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan Maloney from Neighbours, are you there?
Hello, how are you?
Very well. And I also think we've got Margot Robbie, who plays Donna Freeman from Neighbours. Are you there, Margot?
Yes, I am. Hey, guys.
We thought we'd get you to... Now, you guys aren't together at the moment, are you?
No.
Okay.
Oh, very quick to answer. Suspicious.
Suspicious. Very suspicious.
Super defensive.
Now, Ryan, of course, who plays Toady on Neighbours, we wanted to chat to you first. Are you aware of the strength that the Spit Roast Party has backing it as far as sponsorship this year?
No, I'm not.
Well.
What's the sponsorship? What do you got?
Well, Haim, do you want to do the honours here?
Well, I mean, before I tell you the name, I'm going to tell you this. We're not joking, okay?
Because
we're going to say the name of the company and you're going to go,
come on, guys,
don't be idiots, as if anyone could have locked down a massive corporation as big as that. And then you'll ask us for the real sponsor. So are you ready? Do you understand that we're not messing about here?
Yeah, I'm slightly scared, actually.
Okay. Guys, we got Greyvox.
We've got Greyvox, everybody. Greyvox is on board.
This is the time where you want to have a ceremonial AK-47 just fired into the air. Are you okay there, Ryan? Have you composed yourself?
Oh, that's fantastic.
I know.
Most people, I mean, the Logies, who have they got? TV Week. Now, Margot, let's quickly talk about Neighbours at the moment. There seems to be a lot more scandals than previous. Scandal count is high. Are you going for a record heading into 09, end of 09?
Yeah, I guess we're just seeing how far we can push the boundaries, just scandal after scandal, really, and I'm always in the middle of it, so it's kind of fun.
It is kind of fun. Now,
Do you feel like you may be, like, ready if your own personal life has a scandal in it, you'd be better equipped to deal with it?
I probably wouldn't deal with it the way we do on the show,
Which is just gazing into the distance while music comes up.
You can't, yeah.
Kind of. It doesn't end up working out like that, does it?
You can't just wait for an ad break in real life, no.
Well, a lot of people do method act, and that's why I brought it up. Is it something that you've considered, you know, going out, getting yourself into a scandal? And if you have considered this, we suggest the venue being the Logie Spit Roast Party sponsored by Greyvox.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. If I've got any scandals in my life, I'll make sure I bring it all to the table at the Spit Roast.
Can you please bring us one scandal? Can you promise the listeners you bring a personal scandal on Friday?
Oh, I will.
A bombshell. Ryan, you have to bring a plate. Margo, you have to bring a scandal.
Now, Ryan, with all the guests that come, Hamish and I provide rotating meat with coals under it, hot coals. Greyvox are obviously providing their amazing product. We're wondering, will you be able to bring a side plate? We've asked all the celebrities to do it. Danny Minogue's bringing a tiramisu. I think Natalie Bassingthwaite has bagged fairy bread.
Yeah, she's got that happening.
So, what would you like to bring, Ryan?
I want to bring cocktail frankfurts.
Yes!
With little toothpicks in every one.
Well, of course that's the right thing for you to bring, Tony. Yeah, exactly. Because if that's what your heart says, go with your heart.
And Greyvox goes so well with them.
Greyvox goes well with anything, goes without saying.
All right, so we've got Ryan Maloney from Neighbours bringing a cocktail frankfurts. Margo, you're bringing a scandal, which is very exciting, revealed at this Logie Spit Roast. Thanks for chatting to us, guys. We'll see you on Friday.
No way. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Bit to unpack here.
I called him Tony. I didn't even notice.
He didn't correct it.
I bet it happens all the time.
We've got Margot Robbie on the show and spend more time talking about gravy.
Fast forward 11 years, Margot Robbie's like the face of Chanel, the hottest star in the world, and we're like aggressively telling her to be impressed about Greyvox. Okay, guys, I guess I am. She's done well. You look at sort of the four people in that phone conversation. Yeah. Margot's obviously like launched and shot from there. I think you, me, and Maloney were around about where we were.
Gosh, that's great. I don't really need to talk too much more about it because there's so much in there that I was like, wow.
And you see the
hierarchy. We're leaning on Ryan.
He got top billing. Of course, Ryan Maloney and Margot Robbie, who plays Donna on Neighbours.
Had to do the name check.
Yeah, that's always a sign that you weren't confident people would know the name Margot Robbie.
Yeah, oh, amazing.
And times were to change, but just on that quickly, Mike, I do have a history of not getting Ryan Maloney's name correct. I think we've discussed it a few times before on the radio show and people might have heard this story before, but I saw him for the first time in the flesh at the Grand Prix in Melbourne, right? Yeah. And so, you know, you grow up watching Neighbours, you know who Toadie is, right?
Yes.
So I see him and I go, Toadie, that's your first thought. And you go, no, that's not, careful,
don't be tricked.
Careful, that's him on Neighbours. That's his name on Neighbours. He's got a real name in real life. And I go, okay, what's his other name? I think I've got it. And I called him Jared.
Because
he's Jared Rebecca on Neighbours and Toadie's his nickname. Not Ryan Maloney, his human name. he's Majinx.
Listener.